RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Government established Nunukan as National Food Center in border area. Japan explores sister city cooperation with Aceh. Now the news in detail. Indonesia Ministry of Agriculture has established Nunukan North Kalimantan Province as the National Food Center in the area bordering with Malaysia. The Director for Fruits and Horticulture of Indonesia, Minister of Agriculture, Sarwo Edis, stated on Tuesday that the establishment of Nunukan as the food center in the border is the government's program of building Indonesia from the peripheries. Thus, he visited Sebatik Island to see the potential of agriculture and obstacle faced by the local people. He also had a dialogue with local farmers to find out their problems in developing the agricultural sector. We said the result of the dialogue will be reported to Indonesia Minister of Agriculture Andi Amran Sulaiman. The Japanese government, through its consulate in Medan, North Sumatra, exploring sister city cooperation between Banda Aceh and a number of cities in the country. The plan on the sister city cooperation was repealed by Japanese Consul General in Medan, Daiki Yokoyama, on Tuesday. Yokoyama said the Japan is exploring a sister city cooperation between Banda Aceh and several cities in Japan. The cooperation is expected to further strengthen the relationship between Indonesia and Japan. Yokoyama also said that one of the cities that might fit with Banda Aceh is Mano Town, located in Sado Island in Niigata Prefecture. Mano Town is a coastal area and the tourism sector is quite developing. In addition to exploring sister city cooperation, Daiki Yokoyama also offered a financial grant from the Japanese government for physical projects such as building schools, drug rehabilitation centers, water facilities, and procuring ambulances. The Surabaya City Administration is Java province and the Swiss government have established cooperation in several fields, including vocational education, transportation, and waste management systems. Swiss Honorary Consul Christopher Cokrosetyo said in Surabaya on Tuesday that a large amount of garbage that Surabaya produces must be processed into useful products. Christopher and Swiss Ambassador to Indonesia, Yvonne Baumant, to Surabaya, were greeted by Surabaya Mayor Tri Risma Hari Ini upon arrival in the city. The cooperation on vocational education program and waste management has been discussed between the Swiss representatives and the provincial administration of East Java, while waste management will be discussed soon. Indonesia must have an appropriate way to unify the diversity of several tribes in Indonesia. The diversity of Indonesia has become wealth that must be maintained and safeguarded. Governor of National Resilient Institute Lemhanas Agus Wijayo on the dialogue of nationality inside for alumni and stabilizing nationality values and training of trainees Lemhanas 30th March until 1st April 2017 at Lemhanas in Jakarta on Tuesday said that strengthening the five basic principal values must be done for elements of Indonesia.
Mencermati dinamika perkembangan saat ini, di mana globalisasi dan demokratisasi.
Considering currently the dynamic development where globalization and democratization touch the life of nation and state in Indonesia, strengthening nationality inside becomes requirement to guarantee the security of unitary state of Indonesia. Variety and diversity of tribes, culture and religion have become reasons why strengthening nationality inside is important for Indonesia. Moreover, Governor Agus Wijoyo explained that Indonesian people do not want the ongoing democracy process of Indonesia to weaken the national values and identity. At the end, this can deny the founding fathers to be united as national entity which is free and independent. Habibie Center, a non-profit and non-governmental organization for human rights, launches a book entitled Managing Refugee Crisis in Southeast Asia, Politics, Practices and Challenges. Head of Institution for Democracy and Human Rights, Professor Dewi Fortuna Anwar, opened the launch in Jakarta on Thursday. In her speech, she affirmed that Indonesia has not had strong law basis to overcome refugee issues.
However, we have a lot of homework to do. As research put it, until recently, Indonesia in fact does not have a legal framework on refugee issues. And this has put refugee under the same umbrella as illegal immigrants. And they've been put in immigration detention center, which, as you know, has opened very overcrowded and lacking in basic necessities.
Professor Dewi views that the government needs active encouragement from the outside to overcome the refugee issues. The book, along with society's active participation, is one of the positive actions to raise the humanitarian issues. Later, the active participation is expected to encourage the government to seriously respond to the humanitarian issues. Afghan President Ashraf Ghani will visit Indonesia on April 5th and 6th. The visit is a historical one because it will be the first visit of Afghan President to Indonesia and Southeast Asia. Director of South and Southeast Asia of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ferdi Pi, said in Jakarta on Tuesday that the visit aims at improving the cooperation of the two countries in trade and development. Ferdi also said the President Ghani will learn how Indonesia overcome terrorism issues. In Afghanistan, terrorism and radicalization are very rampant, so he believes that Indonesia's deradicalization program could reduce extremism and radicalization in Afghanistan. Moreover, in the visit, Indonesia and Afghanistan will sign for memorandum of understanding.
Memang ada beberapa MOU yang akan kita tanda tangani.
There will be four memorandum of understanding to be signed. Those are education cooperation, agriculture cooperation, statistics and information cooperation, and public administration cooperation. The MOUs will be signed at the visit of Afghan President. Ferry Pi further explained that a business forum between Indonesia and Afghanistan will be held related to the visit of the Afghan President. The Afghan President is also scheduled to meet Indonesian ulamas to talk about Islamic moderation. President Ashraf Ghani will also visit Istiqlal Grand Mosque on April 6. Meanwhile, the Foreign Minister spokesman Armanata Nasir explained that Indonesia and Afghanistan have a special relations. Afghanistan is Indonesia's important colleague to concrete peace and security, especially in spreading Islamic values through inter-religion dialogue. Indonesia has been helping reconciliation in Afghanistan for a long time. Trade value of both countries is still low. However, Afghanistan has huge potential as non-traditional market for Indonesia. The last item, technical training and vocational education are priority in the field of education of ASEAN from 2016 to 2020. This was affirmed by Deputy of ASEAN Secretary General Fonted Arta in his speech at the Dialogue on Regional Policy of Technical and Vocational Training, TPAT, in Jakarta recently. The priority is part of long-term education development by Association of Southeast Asian Nations ASEAN in Southeast Asia.
Education and training. Technical and vocational education and training, TVET, as we all know, remains a priority in our region. The ASEAN Plan on Education 2016 to 2020 includes a specific focus on the development of TVET sector as well as lifelong education.
Fonted Arta added that technical training and vocational education are the important things to support ASEAN community, since ASEAN community is about not only trade of goods but also the movement of skilled laborers that plays an important role in the ASEAN community. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, a commentary today entitled "In Defense of the United Secretary General to Protect Civilians in Mosul." War has sown to force disorder and tragedy. This also happens in Mosul, Iraq. The war triggered by acts of terror carried out by the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, ISIS, has led to the suffering people who live in Iraq bordering with Syria, controlled by ISIS. The attack of Iraqi government to drive out ISIS from Mosul makes the situation terrible. An estimated 200,000 civilians had been forced to leave their hometown looking for a safe place. Such bad condition has encouraged Secretary General of United Nations UN Antonio Guterres to urge the protection for the civilians. Arriving in Baghdad in the presence of his working visit on Tuesday, Antonio Guterres affirmed that the protection for civilians is priority. According to recent report, hundreds of thousands of people had been stuck in the middle of the world in Mosul. Meanwhile, hundreds of thousands are fleeing and seriously starving from lack of food. The civilians are forced to take shelter or leave their hometowns due to ongoing war. The Iraqi government is to target to drive away ISIS from Mosul region next month. Mosul, the second most populous city in Iraq, has been devastated by war. The tragedy for civilians in Mosul has begun when ISIS conquered the area in 2014. Since most of the population in Mosul are Sunni Muslim, Mosul is defeated easily by the power of ISIS that has the same fate. The number of Mosul residents, which reached originally 2.5 million people, is now approximately 1.5 million people. This number continues to decrease because some were killed and others displaced. Before the war, Mosul is a city with a very diverse population comprised of Sunni Muslim majority and various ethnic minorities such as Kurds, Armenians, Yazidis, Assyrians, Turkmen, and Sabak. The arrival of the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres to Iraq cannot be expected too much to stop the war. In fact, he may save the casualties among civilians. The talk with President Fuad Masum and Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi is expected to create resolution to protect and rescue the civilians trapped in Mosul. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, here is Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from the past as recorded in history. We begin with an event which occurred on March 31, 1991, Warsaw Pact ended. Warsaw Pact was an East Bloc military alliance in Eastern Europe aiming to anticipate attacks from NATO, which was formed in 1949. The establishment of Warsaw Pact was triggered by the integration of West Germany into NATO through Paris Protocol ratification. The pact was designed by Nikita Khrushchev in 1955 and signed by its members in Warsaw on May 14, 1955. This pact ended on March 31, 1991, yet the official end was in a meeting in Prague on July 1, 1991. Coming up next, an event which occurred on March 31, 1928, Ecuador Monument was built in Pontianak. The Ecuador Monument is located in Khatulistiwa Road, North Pontianak, West Kalimantan. More precisely, it is located 3 kilometers from the heart of Pontianak City into Mempawah City. This monument is a tourism icon of Pontianak and always crowded by visitors, especially tourists from outside Pontianak. Based on a record collected on March 31, 1928, there was an international expedition in Pontianak led by a Dutch geographer to decide the Equator Line milestone in Pontianak City. We conclude with an event on March 31, 1981, the end of Garuda DC-9 Woyla hijacking. Garuda Indonesia Flight 206 hijacking, or known as Woyla incident, was a hijacking conducted by five terrorists led by Imran bin Muhammad Zain. The plane was actually flying from Talang Betutu Airport, Palembang, to Polonia Airport on March 28, 1981. When hijacked, the plane refueled in Penang, Malaysia, before continuing into Don Mueang Airport, Bangkok, Thailand. Imran bin Muhammad Zain, the leader of Commando Jihad, demanded his associates, who were arrested during the Cicendo incident in Bandung, West Java, to be released. The information of the hijacking was quickly received and responded by Indonesian government through deploying 30 members of Sandi Yuda Para Command Group 1, led by General Leonardus Benyamin Murnadi, and Operation Assistant Lieutenant Colonel Sintong Hamunangan Panjaitan, and some members of Thailand Special Air Force. The members of Group 1 Para Command spent less than 10 minutes to take down the terrorists. The four-day hijacking ended on March 31, 1981, without any casualty among the plane crews and passengers. Imran, the surviving terrorist leader, was brought back to Indonesia and death sentence. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome back to Focus. Today's edition is entitled The Visit of French President François Hollande to Indonesia. The President of France, François Hollande, held a state visit to Indonesian President Joko Widodo at Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on March 29, 2017. His visit was a historic moment because this was the first visit of French President in the last 30 years. Coming along with him were 40 French businessmen. The visit of the French president to Indonesia surely increased investment of the country. President Joko Widodo said the meeting resulted in investment of French businessmen worth $2.6 billion for cooperation in energy, infrastructure, and retail sectors. The state visit also produced the signing five Memorandum of Understandings for defense, sustainable urban development, scientific research, information and technology, tourism, and France-Indonesia partnership. The Memorandum of Understandings were signed by related ministers and witnessed directly by the head of states from both countries. During the press conference after the meeting, President Joko Widodo received well the signing. He emphasized Indonesia agreed to strengthen commitment between the two countries in increasing good relationship. Meanwhile, the French president also expressed similar feeling. France is also committed to deepen the available cooperation. President François Hollande expected the cooperation to give positive impacts for the relationship of France and Indonesia. He also hoped to visit Indonesia again in the near future. Meanwhile, the House of Representatives DPR supported the increasing of cooperation in accordance with the potential of each country since the signing of strategic cooperation in July 2011. The House Speaker Setia Novanto, after welcoming the Chairman of Bilateral Cooperation Group from French-Indonesian Parliament, His Excellency Mr. Jean-Jacques Gilly, at the House's VIP meeting room Jakarta on Wednesday, said that the House also received well various agreements and cooperation made during the state visit of French President. In the meeting, Setia Novanto asked France to keep providing lenience for Indonesian industry to market several commodities in France. Therefore, Indonesian export value to France that had reached $972 million US, including electronics, footwear, rubber and rubber products, furniture, clothing and accessories, coffee, tea, as well as spices, will keep increasing. Listener, that was Focus Today.
Here in News in Brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesia Minister of Agriculture established Nuka, North Kalimantan Province, as the national food center in the area bordering with Malaysia. Director for Fruits and Horticulture of Indonesia, Minister of Agriculture, Sarwo Edi, stated on Tuesday that the establishment of Nunukan as the food center in the border is the government's program of building Indonesia from the peripheries. The Japanese government, through its consulate in Medan, North Sumatra, exploring sister city cooperation between Banda Aceh and a number of cities in the country. The Surabaya City Administration is Java province, and the Swiss government have established cooperation in several fields, including vocational education, transportation, and waste management systems. Indonesia must have an appropriate way to unify the diversity of separate tribes in Indonesia. The diversity of Indonesia has become wealth that must be maintained and safeguarded. Governor of National Resilience Institute Lemhanas, Agus Wijoyo, on the Dialogue of Nationality Insight for Alumni and Stabilizing Nationality Values and Training of Trainees. Lemhanas, 30 March until 1 April 2017 at Lemhanas in Jakarta on Tuesday, said that strengthening five basic principal values must be done for all elements of Indonesia. Habibie Center, a non-profit and non-governmental organization for human rights, launches a book entitled Managing Refugee Crisis in Southeast Asia, Politics, Practices and Challenges. Head of Institution for Democracy and Human Rights, Professor Dewi Fortuna Anwar, opened the launch in Jakarta on Tuesday. In her speech, she affirmed that Indonesia have not had strong lobbying to overcome refugee issue. Afghan President Ashraf Ghani will visit Indonesia on April 5th and 6th. The visit is historical one because it will be the first visit of Afghan president to Indonesia and Southeast Asia. Technical training and vocational education are priority in the field of education of ASEAN from 2016-2020. This was affirmed by Deputy ASEAN Secretary General Fontet Arta in his speech at the Dialogue on Regional Policy of Technical and Vocational Training, TPET, in Jakarta recently. That's News in Brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment of Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, the culinary art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to a culinary tour in East Java. Stay tuned. Mount Bromo is one of volcanic mountains in East Java. It has 2,329 meters high above sea level and located among four regencies, namely Probolinggo, Pasuruan, Lumajang, and Malang. As an active volcanic mountain, Bromo becomes one of well-known tourism destination places in East Java and always visited by domestic and foreign tourists. The tourists who come to Mount Bromo certainly want to enjoy the beauty scenery of Bromo. Not only enjoying the natural scenery, the tourists certainly can also taste one of typical culinaries of Bromo, namely nasi aron or aron rice. Nasi aron is a unique culinary of Tengger society who inhabit the slopes of Mount Bromo. Note, as the name implies, nasi aron is not made of rice, instead of white corn planted on the slopes of Mount Bromo. Although it seems similar to the white rice, there are many differences between nasi aron and white rice. The nasi aron Tengger make anyone who eat feel full longer. In addition, nasi aron even can last up to a week, and it is getting more tasteful. Listener, it is not easy to make nasi aron, but needs long enough time, about 4 days, to change the white corn becomes nasi aron. To make nasi aron, firstly, it's a process to separate corn kernels from the cob, or the local called dipipil, and pound it, then soak for 4 days. The process will continue by drying process. It also needs long enough time because the slope of Mount Bromo has cool air. Once the corn dry, then it is pounded and strained to become maize powder. The powder is then boiled for 30 minutes. After that, the dough is watered with hot water then cooked. Nasi aron can be designed into various forms. The Tengger community prefer to make nasi aron form like clench. Usually, nasi aron is served with many side dishes such as tofu, mixed potato and tofu, tempeh, vegetable and fish. Besides delicious and specific taste, people like nasi aron because it's savor. The delicious nasi aron and bitter runty vegetable is able to lowering cholesterol and treating diabetes. Besides, mixture of nasi aron and spicy condiment can hold hungry until a few hours. You can find nasi aron easily in the food stalls along the road to the tourism site of Mount Bromo. The price is also affordable, which only 10,000 rupiah per portion. Listener, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder on the topic of nasi aron from East Java. We will meet again tomorrow with some more interesting topics and places. Sampai jumpa!
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about National Nurse Day. Fewer Indonesian people know National Nurse Day, including the nurses themselves. Commemorating the National Nurse Day is actually to remember the first establishment of the nurse organization, Indonesian National Nurse Association, or PPNI. This organization was established on March 17, 1974. This professional organization was established because there are several nurses that need to have an organization to gather all nurses in Indonesia. This organization is aimed at organizing, developing, and increasing safe nursing practice, competence, quality, and professionalism for Indonesian people. The members of PPNI have played real role in the society by narrowing the gap in medical service, facilitating health access, improving similar quality health services. These aspects makes Marcelinus Welip determined to become a nurse in his homeland, Papua. There are also other aspects that make him want to be a nurse. The moment was when he saw a nurse taking care of his father with sincere heart. The guy often called Marcel is dedicating his life to serve and provide inspiration for other medical workers in Papua. Marcel has been working in Towe District Public Health Center in the middle of the tropical jungle in Papua. This area, mostly inhabited by native Papua people, is far from medical access. Marcel was ready to quit from his position as the head of Public Health Center Administration in Arso, Kirom, Papua, to save more than 1,900 people in 7 villages that he visits regularly. Toy District is an abbreviation of Web District Kerom. There are 7 villages, including Toe, such as Toe Atas, Toe Hitam, Milky, Lules, Terfonis, and Tefalma. The condition in this area is very alarming because the people do not know healthy lifestyle. This is also the big reason why Marcel wants to provide health service in the area. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany that informed you about National Nurse Day. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
Wherever you are, welcome back with me in our regular segments of Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition of Music Corner presents you Fethi Fera, an Indonesian female dangdut singer, chosen as the best female dangdut singer in the 1995 HDX Music Award. She was one of a few Indonesian dangdut singers who successfully performed in some countries, such as in France, the Netherlands, Hungary, England, and the United States. Listener, to begin our program, here is a song entitled Gerimis by Fethi Fera. Happy listening. Fethi Fera released her very first album in the 1990s, and as a newcomer at the time, her first album had not yet successfully penetrated the Indonesian commercial music industry, but it did not last for a long time. The second album she released a year after the first one, and she managed to penetrate the Indonesian dangdut music industry known for fierce competition over the ever-popular single Sedang Sedang Saja. Since then, Fethi Fera's assistance in the Indonesian dangdut industry began to be recognized. Her songs combined with her stage performances that slightly adapted the movements of two international megastars, Michael and Janet Jackson. But Fethi Fera was one of the most popular dangdut singers in Indonesia at the time. Listener, let's listen to another song by Fethi Fera entitled Jangan Minder. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia, in a segment of Music Corner, and we are now giving you information about Indonesia's female dangdut singer, Fethi Fera. After successfully winning the Best Dangdut Singer title in 1995, Fethi Fera was awarded the title as the Best Solo Dangdut Singer in 2006. She also collaborated with her younger brother, Alam, who is also a popular dangdut singer in Indonesia. Until today, Fethi Fera still actively performs in Indonesian dangdut scene and still releases albums. Listener, to wrap up today's Music Corner, let's listen to a song by Fethi Fera entitled Jangan Bilang-Bilang. Have a nice day and sampai jumpa lagi.
Oga!
Tutup telinga?
Oga! Habis bagaimana dong?
Sekarang kamu harus nyanyi lagi.
Mengapa sih kau bilang-bilang di hatiku ini sedang jatuh-jatuh cinta kepadamu? Mengapa sih kau bilang-bilang di mataku ini ada panah-panah asmara cinta?
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Malam ini ke lagunya cintaku, kau memilih
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz,
9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.